The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KPXG Grants Pass is where you are. Mr. Outdoors is going to join me here in the next few minutes, and we're going to talk about a wonderful change in the climate down here in Southern Oregon over the next few days. Quite a bit of relief, and is there going to be relief from the fire? That is... It could be a little bit doubtful, but we'll get the latest on that. I ended up having Darren write me this morning. Say, Bill, would you please ask Greg if the cause of the Salt Creek fire has been released? We were up there last weekend, and it looked bad in areas. We also came across some smoke from burning roots. Yikes, I've seen those before here, Darren. Finally figured out how to contact ODF dispatch to let them know. Not the easiest number to find. Good point. We'll talk with Greg about that here, Darren. Thanks for writing. Another email in at bill@billmyershow.com. That's my email. I want to give an email of the day to Mark from Grants Pass. Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. By the way, while you wait, crowns are available. In many cases, they have an in-house lab. They don't have to send it out. They can get your tooth all ground up and ready and all pretty for the crown. And quite often, just get it the same day. Very, very nice. Pretty cool little machine. You got to talk to him about that, too. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Mark writes me this morning about the Grants Pass City Council coming up with their homelessness ordinance and how they voted 7-0 on that. And even, like Councillor Dwayne Junker said yesterday, it's not perfect. It's not perfect, but it's certainly progress. And Mark has had a lot to say about safety in his particular neighborhood. And he said, I imagine the city council will sort it all. The druggies in the common area parks will be someplace else before public school starts. One child abducted, one child raped, one child put on drugs. That's the end of parlay. Reservation law will come, and Warren, you know, the police chief, will be powerless to stop it. Imagine you could be right. There is a growing sense of rage there, Mark. And believe me, I'm on those email trees in which people are not happy. It's like we do not have to tolerate this dirt bagginess in our community, okay? Appreciate the email, bill@billmyershow.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The storm they call Debbie has claimed an eighth life, bringing down a tree on a home near Greensboro, North Carolina. A 78-year-old woman was killed. The storm continues its trek up the East Coast, unleashing flooding or flood threats from parts of Virginia and Pennsylvania to New York and New England. Former President Trump calling for three debates with Democrat Kamala Harris. Harris has agreed to one September 10th on ABC. As far as Mr. Trump is concerned, abortion is not a key issue in this election.
The former president told a news conference that after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, abortion has become much less of an issue.
I think the abortion issue has been taken down many notches. I don't think it's of... I don't think it's a big factor anymore, really.
However, Vice President Harris has made access to abortion a central theme of her campaign. Trump claimed that everybody is happy that the issue is now being addressed by state governments. Greg Clugston, Washington.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says a Democrat's vice presidential nominee does not align with mainstream American values. On the Salem Media Group program this week on the Hill with Tony Perkins, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson says Kamala Harris has picked a left-wing running mate.
Tim Walz is a far leftist. I mean, he's giving sanction to socialism. He thinks it's a great idea. He says that we ought to have sanctuary cities and that illegal aliens ought to have driver's licenses. I mean, this guy does not line up with the values of the American people, and I think this is a very telling thing because they have a pro-Hamas wing in the Democratic Party, and she was afraid she'd start a civil war in their party. That's where we are. The objective facts cannot be overlooked.
Speaker Johnson's full interview will be heard on This Week on the Hill starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time this Saturday on the Salem News Channel. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 91 points, the NASDAQ 79 points in the red. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-504-8790. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-504-8790. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-504-8790.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
When you call Fontana Roofing, our singular focus is a focus. You have questions, we have answers.
Hello, you've reached Fontana Roofing. How may I help you? Yes, we install a plethora of roofs. Traditional, composite, metal, tile, shake, you name it. All types of buildings, whether it's a re-roof or new construction. Yeah, we can fabricate and install custom gutters and install gutter covers. Absolutely. If you have buildings that require metal siding and flashing, we do that too. Decks? No, that's not in our wheelhouse. Concrete? No, that's beyond our scope. Fencing? No, we just stick with what we're good at. Sales department? No, we don't have one. But we do have an owner who provides all of our competitive, meticulous quotes. Yes, I'll have him call you right away. Your name and number?
At Fontana Roofing, we don't do everything, but what we do well. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit MyAdvancedAir.com.
Sunny and hazy conditions today for the Rogue Valley, hitting a high of 97, 61 for our overnight low, low to mid-90s for the weekend, and then by the start of next week, we're going to be dropping into those high 80s, overnights in the 50s, mostly sunny skies as well. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
10 minutes after 7, we had Jennifer email me overnight saying, Bill, what is the latest on the Chester replacement? Well, not Chester replacement. Nothing could ever replace Chester the cat, but Charlie. Charlie, who is the new kitten we got from the shelter a few weeks ago, the orange kitty, now 3 pounds of mayhem, Jennifer. I just want to let you know, 3 pounds of mayhem. And if I could have 5% of the energy that little kitten has, well, I'll tell you, I'd be able to take on the world for everything in every way possible. But he's running around just crazy, healthy, happy, very cheerful cat. And Matt, the grumpy 14-year-old, and let me tell you, he was born grumpy, and he would not deal with this cat at all for the first 3-4 weeks. He's now grooming him. They're now chasing each other around the house and playing with balls back and forth. So it's kind of sped him up a little bit. It's actually working out really well. The one thing that is still on the downside is that every now and then, like last night, Matt and Charlie are sitting on Linda's lap. Right. That's it. They like doing that. And Charlie is far away from Matt. But Matt just woke up, looked at him, and just gave him a big old bunch of slap-os just for no reason at all. Just like boom, boom, boom. Well, that'll probably last only as long until Charlie catches up and is as big as Matt. And when that happens a few weeks, few months from now, then Charlie will be able to whap him back. But, you know, Grumpy Cat is warming up to, you know, the new guy. Okay. So just wanted to let you know. Mr. Outdoors joins me here in a couple of minutes. And boy, I ended up just having such a great experience the other day. I ended up working some new car insurance angles with Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Because, you know, I'm always telling you to call Steve Yancey and get your insurance needs taken care of. 261-5444, because Steve is an independent agent and he has been able to work such great deals for so many people. Well, I got a renewal from the company I was with, and Steve went to work, and I ended up going about half price. I ended up getting half. I'm spending half now what I was with the other company. And Steve took care of all that paperwork, just did it. And I'm so happy about this. It's the sort of thing that you can get done too. And maybe you've been canceled by other insurance companies, fire insurance, things like that. It's all happening. Get a quote, 261-5444, 261-5444, or skyparkins.com. That's Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Every American has been impacted by their economic policies, by Harris's border policies, by their law and order policies. Is every town and city in this country safe and secure? It is not. What about the global chaos? In the middle of, you know, awaiting the Iranian response to Israel and an attack by Iran again, Kamala Harris is entertaining the insanity to consider an arms embargo against Israel at their most vulnerable moment, where they might be facing a four-front war on top of the three fronts that they're facing now. You know, you want to compare that to President Trump's record? Because if you do, it's going to be different.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-G-O-L-D. That's 855-815-GOLD.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
All right, I think I may have got the problem with Facebook Live figured out. I didn't smash the iPad, but I had the login credentials on a sticker on the back of it, which is very difficult to dig up when I'm on the air. So I ripped off the sticker and gave it its login. So maybe it's happy, and maybe it'll let the what will happen is that the audio will just go away, and then the picture keeps going. So you're saying, I can't hear you. I know. But hopefully it's back now. Yeah. Apple is so easy. Let me go to Mr. Outdoors. How you doing this morning, Greg? Welcome back.
Well, at least I'm not having the issue you're having. But then again, we don't do live the way you do, at mm-hmm. least not yet. That will be a coming, you know, thing for us. But yeah, when that day arrives for me, maybe I'll go through what you're having right now.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, you know, all the iPad does, it's a controller for the camera, for the online camera. It controls it. Mm-hmm. And you feed the audio into it. And so, and it's an older iPad because it doesn't need a new iPad. And for some reason, it's just cranky. And it's probably because Apple is saying, let's just make it break because he needs to go down to the iPad store and buy a new one. It's probably what they're thinking. And let's just, yeah.
Yeah, the planned obsolescence thing.
Yeah.
Here's its head again, possibly.
Could be. But anyway, let's talk about the outdoor. The Outdoor Report now is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And of course, Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com. We're finally going to get some relief, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and, you know, honestly, it's been a bit surprising to me that we've had as much smoke impact as we have had because, you know, I guess for lack of a better phrase to use, historically, when we've had fires positioned where the fires in the Cascades are, we have not typically seen a whole lot of smoke impact here. And you know, honestly, we kind of got locked into a situation there for a couple of days where the smoke really wasn't pushing out. It kind of just kept building and stacking, which led to our really degraded air quality, especially yesterday until, I'm going to say, late afternoon, evening, when they finally did start coming down. And this morning, we're over 100 points down from where we were yesterday at this time.
Yeah, air quality yesterday was, like, you know, pretty bad for sensitive individuals, which could be, you know, whole lot of people. It's like 175, I think, when I was checking it yesterday.
Actually, when you reach those points, now you're up into unhealthy air, and that's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
We were in healthy air, and this morning we're kind of mid-range of moderate. Moderate would be 50 to 100, and we're at 80 right now in Medford. So that is, you know, much better than yesterday. And like I said, in terms of the AQI index, it's over 100 points down from where we were at this time yesterday.
But the haze and the smoke's pretty much going to continue off and on, though. We're not going to get away from that until the rains come.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's kind of funny. I saw this post from Elkhorn News that, you know, among the other things that they're involved with now, that media group is Rogue Valley Times. And they put this big post up acting like it was major news that the Forest Service says, well, these fires are going to last until the rains of fall come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the news that's not news department, I guess, because if you pay attention to these things at all, once you get these fires really established, historically, this has always been the case.
It's just natural, and sometimes they'll even burn after that. Now, I had Darren from Medford that asked me, and I promised I would ask you this question. He was wondering if you knew the cause, or if we know the cause of the Salt Creek fire yet, and because he talks about having been up there, and it looked pretty bad in some areas, he said, and we came across some smoke from burning roots. And he finally ended up contacting ODF dispatch to let him know, but he said that's not the easiest number to find.
No, it's not the easiest for, you know, ODF, but it is there. You would have to do a search.
Okay.
The cause on Salt Creek, they have definitely narrowed it down to, at least what they're saying publicly, human-related accidental.
Okay.
So accidental's the big word there. That means they don't believe that it was arson or even willful negligence, you know, like burning a burn barrel at a time that you can't be. So they've removed all of that. I have heard from two very reliable sources what they believe the cause was. They are still continuing on their investigation. The funny thing about ODF is, that, especially here locally, they have started getting really closed mouth about fires, even when I'm hearing from all kinds of people, hey, here's what happened. And people with firefighting background and knowledge that, you know, a recent case, Reese Creek Road. There were a string of fires that got going along Reese Creek Road outside of Eagle Point. The largest one turned out to be about an acre. But on Reese Creek Road, with a slight hill, there's two things that immediately come to mind. Now, for the general public out there, what immediately comes to mind is arson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, arsonists don't typically go down the road and set a string of fires, first of all.
Yeah, I would think string of fires could be like, you know, dragging chains, something like that.
Dragging chains or catalytic converters.
Yeah.
It's one of the two. Illinois Valley Fire, I love these guys. Right now, from a fire information point of view, they're telling people exactly what happened, and they're telling people exactly what the cause is.
They are very transparent. One of the most transparent firefighting organizations down here in Southern Oregon. I concur. I concur with you on that. That's great.
And I got to tell you, it didn't used to be that way. When I was involved in it, from a PIO aspect or from an investigator aspect, if I had something truly suspicious, I would say, fire is under investigation. I don't know where this excuse came from that, well, we can't compromise an investigation.
Yeah, well,
that's a cop out.
Well, you know what it also is? It's just the nature of bureaucracies to want to, I think, keep as much of that internal. And I don't know, maybe these days, given we're looking at wildfire maps and everything else, you have this issue of people thinking about, you know, liability for saying the wrong thing. I don't know if there is any, but...
And maybe it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that doesn't compromise squat would be doing educational campaigns on their social media.
Yeah.
And actually, some of the Forest Service, you know, the like Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, Umpqua National Forest, Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, they're really good about putting out information about all the inadvertent ways that people can start fires. But is this a major point of focus campaign? Like right now, Smokey Bear is turning 80 years old. Everybody knows only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, you do that pretty well.
Well, I was Smokey Bear for 4 years in Central Oregon. No joke. They took one look at me and go, "What a natural Smokey Bear!"
Did they put you in the camp? Did they put you in a costume? Did they put you in a costume?
They did.
Yep. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. I could see you in Smokey Bear.
I was. When I say I was Smokey Bear, I was the guy in the suit.
Yeah, and then if a kid came up and said, "Are you Smokey the Bear?" And then you have to hit him, right? It's Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm Smokey Bear. You know, remember, kids, only you can prevent wildfires.
Oh, that's too funny.
Because I could do it. I was probably one of the very few Smokies you will ever... be aware of that could actually talk. Now, the worst thing about being in that suit, line of sight visibility.
Oh, yeah.
Kids could come up and grab your legs and you'd never see them coming. So I always had a spotter to the left of me and a spotter to the right to help prevent that and make sure I was aware of any potential, like, hazards, uneven surface, stairs, anything like that, making sure I could see.
Well, I'm glad that you survived your Smokey Bear deal. But, you know, back to the, you know, to the whole issue about withholding of information, though, is it getting better? Because, like you said, Illinois Valley Fire, as far as I'm concerned, is, like, number one. Number one, you know, the way they respond and get information. So that way, and when they come out with official stories like that, the misinformation or just wrong stories don't get traction because, hey, here's what happened, guys. You know?
I can't even tell you how sick I am of this attitude from people that unless you see a lightning bolt strike a tree and you see the fire start, everything else is arson.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I am not kidding.
But there are a lot of human. But to be fair, there are a lot of human costs. Okay, but hang on here, Greg. But to be fair, there are a lot of human caused fires, not necessarily arson, right?
I'm gonna quote you the statistic. It still has not changed. 92.3%. I'm sorry, 93.2% of all fire starts by humans are accidental in some form or another.
Yeah.
And you want to get to the most extreme side of accidental? I'm going to keep talking about it until, I don't know, you and I are off.
I know, it's the beer bottle, right?
A pickaxe spark.
Or the pickaxe,
a horseshoe spark.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of things we're talking about.
It's just weird stuff sometimes happens. That's just all there is to
it.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Greg Roberts with RogueWeather.com. Greg, let's grab a call or two for you. People, I think, have questions.
Okay.
All right. Let me grab line two. Good morning. You're on with Greg. Who's this?
Hey, it's Deplorable Patrick. Good morning, Greg and Bill.
DP, what's on your mind here in the outdoors and the fire? Go ahead.
Well, Crumb, I don't get to call in that often, especially when Greg is on. But so can I go to weather?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, of late, I've watched a lot of tornado videos. It's pretty brutal. And that's down in Tornado Alley and sometimes up even in Illinois and pretty far from us. However, if you want to go back like 25 years or so, we had a tornado in Malin, which is a little too close for comfort. And now I'm seeing little whirlwinds, more than I seem like I used to. Whirlwinds, you know, come and go. My question for you is, if you were able to build a tornado shelter here, would you do it? Do you see the possibility of tornadoes coming this way as things change?
Honestly, no. There's a lot of dynamics. Now, can we have a land spout, which would definitely qualify as a tornadic event here in Jackson County? Well, we absolutely can, because we had one happen, I want to say this was back 2014-15
yeah.
in Glendale.
Yeah, I remember that story. We were talking about that back then, 10 years back.
Honestly, if it had not been for rogue weather followers in Glendale, we might not have ever known that event happened. So land spout, to me, would be far more of the type of event I would expect to have happen here. And land spouts, while they're considered tornadoes, they aren't really the mesocyclone thunderstorm attached rotation that comes from the clouds down. This will actually come from the ground up.
Oh.
And they form on boundary layers, and we get boundary layers here. And yeah, I have seen thunderstorms in this valley with wall clouds. I have seen funnel clouds in this valley. But have I ever seen one hit the ground, or am I aware of one ever hitting the ground in Jackson County? No.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's the bottom line here, Greg, is that, yeah, it could happen.
But that said, it's just not that probable.
Not that probable.
Okay.
Right?
I want to get to Patrick's main question.
Okay.
That said, would I build a tornado shelter living in Medford, Oregon? No. And the reason is, for the type of event that I am positive we would see here, I mean, we will actually, there have been times we will get stronger gusts in the winter, especially down in Ashland-Talent area. Because when you look at what the wind speed is, funnel speed is, of a typical land spout, we already build our homes here, by and large, to be able to withstand those types of wind. Tree damage? Absolutely. Trees would be the bigger issue, but trees come down in winter storms, too. So, no, I wouldn't build a tornado shelter specific for that purpose here, like you would have in the Midwest.
Of course, you could build it as a root cellar. It could be dual purpose, right? Store your vegetables
in
that.
I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
We bought a house on Wynema Way, we, mom and dad, obviously,
yeah.
in 1979. One of the things that house had in it, a true 1950s era bomb shelter.
Oh, wow. That would have been fun.
18-inch thick concrete walls reinforced. And I'll tell you what, I turned that thing into my bedroom.
That explains a lot about your personality today, Greg. That explains a lot about your personality today, Greg. You know, it's Bunker Greg, all right?
Yep.
All right. Hey.
It was the coolest bedroom I ever had. It was a bomb shelter.
Yeah, did it have the little crank to ventilate it to that some of those fallout shelters had?
That little funny little crank in the wall thing to it opens up enough to let, you know, your CO2 breath get out.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it had ventilation. But man, I'll tell you what, in the wintertime, the heater that was in there, it had its own heater, and you fired that heater up and then you wanted to shut it down because the concrete holds the heat. If you left that thing on, like at night when you were asleep,
yeah.
I had nights I'd wake up drenched in sweat because I forgot to turn the heater off.
Well, if you're going to survive the apocalypse, at least you'll stay warm. So there we go, Deplorable Patrick. Don't worry too much about that, all right? Hey, Greg, why don't you stand by here? We'll take some more calls, and because it's Friday, let's have a little bit of fun here. Mr. Outdoors, Outdoor Report, fire, so much more. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Protect your home from costly summer heat damage. Terra Firma Foundation Systems can help. As the summer heat dries out the soil around your home, it contracts or pulls away from or pushes against your home's foundation. This can put your home's foundation at risk of shifting, sinking, or cracking. These issues worsen over time, leading to expensive repairs, but they don't have to. Don't delay. Terra Firma offers solutions to keep your home's foundation safe and stable. Visit goterrafirma.com. Easy online scheduling. CCB 173547.
happen.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10. News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Hot, stagnant weather is going to keep most of southern Oregon under an air quality advisory through this afternoon. Today's highs are going to be in the upper 90s with pockets of air deemed very unhealthy as smoke from local fires continues to settle over Jackson and Josephine counties. Lower temperatures and shifting winds should clear things up tonight and through the weekend. As another fire season burns hundreds of thousands of acres of Oregon woodland, forestry officials say now the fires won't be truly extinguished until significant rain or snow arrives. The U.S. Forest Service said so-called long-duration fires are common in timber-dominated forests like those found in Oregon and Washington. With a measles outbreak growing in Marion, Multnomah, and Clackamas counties, state health officials are asking parents statewide to have their kids vaccinated against the highly contagious disease before school starts. Of the 25 cases reported so far, 20 are in people younger than 19. Bill London, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Rock This Town by Stray Cats was released in 1981. And peaked at number 9 on the singles chart. Millette Construction can relate to this song because we rock your town one building at a time by firming up and solidifying foundations, leveling floors, and fixing the water problems that cause instability. So don't let those cracks in walls make you scream and shout. Millette will rock your place inside out. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. By the way, Stray Cats may look and sound like they're from the UK, but they're actually from Long Island, New York.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
All righty. Diner 62 quiz, by the way, will be next hour. We'll have that a little bit later on, so make sure you can win that. And we have a few minutes left with Mr. Outdoors. And before we go to the calls here, Greg, why don't you give us a quick take on best places for fishing and maybe recreation with what we got coming up the next couple of days. And let's grab a... People want to talk to you about a couple of things, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, I've got breaking news for you right now. One of my ODOT sources is letting me know that Highway 230 is going to have flaggers out because they're going to be removing hazard trees starting this morning at around 10 o'clock and then going through Monday between milepost 13 and 23. So, basically, what they're doing is this is Now the fire area within the Middle Fork fire zone. And they are going to be removing these hazard trees, I think, two reasons. Number one, make it safer for firefighting operations. And then number two, they just need to remove these trees because Highway 230 has a lot of hazard trees on it. So now that there's a fire there,
you have the excuse you can kind of do that.
To do what ODOT can't get funding from Salem to do.
So got it.
Do it.
All right. Duly noted here. All right. Let me go to Todd in Central Point. Todd, you're with Mr. Outdoors. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yes, about the fire map, you mentioned it briefly. I was listening to Lars the other day, and he had some guy from some insurance council on, and that guy had no problem with the Senate Bill 762. He didn't think it was going to be directly affecting anybody's rates. But I think their soft pedal on that is that the bill, if my understanding is correct, requires all new certain kinds of mitigation that comes out of the pocket of the person owning the property. So,
well, yeah, the property owner has to prepare for being burnt, I think, is really essentially what it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. Let Greg respond to that, Todd. Sure. What were you going to say,
and
Greg?
Todd, what they did there, okay, the backlash that happened the first time they pushed on this, thanks to Jeff Golden and Pam Marsh, where literally the peasants arose with pitchforks and torches. Now what they're doing with this, the onus is being put back over on the insurance companies because the insurance companies are definitely cracking down now. I have had people tell me I can't get fire insurance on my rural property anymore. That is the byproduct that has led to this because now the state has cover to go, well, it's the insurance companies. Mm-hmm. Well, the insurance companies are going to offload as much risk as they can, and you're 100% right. The cost of getting your property to the point that they want it to even insure it at all is going to fall directly on you, the property owner. The state offers a little bit of help that way through FireWire.
Yeah, and Greg, county, and Greg, what's really going on here too, though, is that the state is trying to transfer all payment for wildland firefighting to rural landowners rather than
absolutely.
To who actually starts the not who necessarily starts the fire, but just the people who have the misfortune of living out in rural lands, because I think, honestly, they don't want them there, which is why you had Golden and Pam Marsh, the people behind this, because they're part of that whole sustainable development. We're going to, you know, have our nice little reserves that that only special people will be allowed to be in and see, and then everybody else you need to be in stack and pack. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's perfectly fine that I can own Green Springs Inn.
Yep.
But don't you dare have a 10x20 cabin.
Yeah, exactly. And point well taken. And when it comes right down to it, Todd, I'll talk with Senator Linthicum about this. He's here in about a half hour. But this needs to be repealed, and I think the people are going to have to take Senate Bill 762 and just kill it legislatively. All right, let me go to Wild Salmon Steve on Sellers. Steve, you're there with Greg. Go ahead. Welcome.
I grew up on Vashti Way, which is right next to Wainema Way.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
My grandpa had a root cellar under their house, and every winter that root cellar would fill up with water. I wonder if you had any water problems in your bomb shelter.
Not one. And the biggest reason for it was my bomb shelter wasn't above ground. Here locally, if you go below ground, especially out in that area, the amount of groundwater, it used to be in the day, if you're going to put in a cellar, especially in that area, you had to line it, and then you had to be prepared to have some sort of pumping mechanism just in case.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it sounded like in your case, that didn't exist at all, but I was kind of lucky in that mine was above ground.
All right, very good. Of course, I lived in Pittsburgh where we all had basements underground because of the frost line and the way that was working. So let me take one more call here, and then we'll have to call it quits with that. We want to wrap with a little bit of politics here before we take off, and we got Cliff. Hello, Cliff. You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill. This is Cliff. Want to confirm about Greg's comment about Wynn and Ashland and Talent.
And it was, I believe, 1975, 1976 that the Lithia drive-in screen blew down.
Yep.
And when the insurance adjusters came in there and took a look at it, they figured that the gust of wind that blew it down was 90 to 100 miles an hour.
Whoa.
Yes. Oh, I vividly remember that event as a kid. Heck, my dad threw me in the truck, and we drove down there to see it as soon as we heard about it. And, yeah, you're completely right. You've got it remembered exactly right in terms of the year and also in terms of the estimated wind gust, 90 to 100.
All right. Thanks for the call, Cliff. And finally, Greg, before we take off, you are text messaging me furiously back and forth. Unfortunately, I was at my imaginary friend, my new primary care doctor, so I wasn't able to converse with you like I wanted to. But you were doing a little digging on Tim Walz. We were talking about Tim Walz yesterday, the vice presidential pick. Supposedly, everything's presumptive because Kamala Harris has yet to have even one primary vote. But, you know, that's okay. They're still here to save democracy. So the stolen valor thing, that got you pretty hot and bothered. And you want to talk a little bit about how he actually got that demotion, right?
Right. And I want to preface this first by saying, no, I did not serve in the military, but I grew up with one of Patton's tank commanders. Mm. In fact, my grandfather, 749th Armored, his most direct senior commander is a guy we've all heard of, Creighton Abrams, because the
Abrams tank. Yeah.
So my grandfather, that was his most direct senior commander, was Creighton Abrams. So I grew up fully versed about the military. And the first thing I found out about Tim Walz was, oh, Command Sergeant Major. Well, that's pretty impressive. And then I started doing some digging of my own and then found out, wait a minute, his DD-214 shows him at a lower rank. How did he get demoted? And it was well known he had an issue with drinking and driving. It's documented. And then I was like, well, was there behavior detrimental that caused him to get demoted? No. As it turned out, he actually demoted himself. And Command Sergeant Major was a temporary rank because he first entered the program, then he quit the program. So he never successfully fully achieved Command Sergeant Major. It was a technicality. When he retired out, his DD-214 lists his achieved rank level, Sergeant Major.
Interesting story. Yeah, this is the point being, though, is that now they're starting to revise the biography now. The campaign's starting to. And you would think, though, I don't know, maybe when you have, 25-year-olds running it, they don't think it's all that big of a deal. But there are older voters who have a longer memory because even in Minnesota, he's taken a lot of incoming for this over the years.
He should on this issue because what this means is, he didn't just quit once on his troops by failing to deploy. He actually quit twice. He quit the Command Sergeant Major program. He was supposed to do another 2 years. He got the technical rank, and then he quit.
All right.
Stolen valor? You be the judge on that. But I will tell you, if my grandfather was alive today, without any question, he would say it was stolen valor. And this guy? This is the kind of guy that Patton slapped.
Yeah, I understand that. So your grandfather worked as a tank commander under Patton, and my grandfather Fisher worked under Patton too. In fact, I have a picture of Patton pinning a medal on his chest. But he was infantry. He was infantry. Yeah. Is what he was doing. Great story. Thanks so much there, Greg. And you have a good weekend. Take the next of the week off, okay? And we'll talk next Friday. All right.
Yeah, no, and of course, we'll always keep updating things. And again, as we're heading out the door, want to remind people of what I was just informed of from ODOT. Hazard tree removal on Highway 230 from milepost 13 to 23. That will start today at 10 a.m. and it will go through Monday.
All right. Some big delays, I would imagine, there. Thanks, Greg. Greg Roberts over at Rogue Weather, the Outdoor Report, more, and of course, a smattering of politics and bomb shelter talk, too.
this morning. This is the Bill Myers Show, 746. Kevin Starrett joins me here in a few minutes. Will the Republicans pay for the, or at least cough up the $25,000 for the gun lawsuit? We'll talk about that and more all coming up.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/2/24.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
The model year-end closeout on new Iron Bull trailers continues at Two Dogs Fabricating. Iron Bull has instant rebates on remaining 2024 Iron Bull trailers while they last. There's an instant $750 rebate on 12 to 16-foot dump trailers and a $500 rebate on equipment trailers from 16 to 24 feet. The 2024 model year-end closeout on North Star-made Iron Bull trailers is for a limited time. So go pick out yours at Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford. Visit twodogsfab.com.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Where's the dough? And little Betty Lou had a date but didn't want to screw. She changed her mind when slipped a dime or so. Where's the dime?
Where's the dime? Where's the money?
Where's the money if you never ever give me nothing else?
That's the theme as we introduce Kevin Starrett at Oregon Firearms Federation, OregonFirearms.org. Where's the money is the question we're asking this morning because as the announcement came from Oregon Firearms Federation, there is a new Second Amendment lawsuit, and you have joined in with the Firearms Policy Coalition here. Kevin, why don't you break it down for us, please? Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. So in 2023, the Republicans helped pass another gun control bill that outlawed the possession of firearms that people made themselves, something that people have been doing in America lawfully for hundreds of years. And after helping pass it, the House Republicans, most of them, appeared on the Capitol steps with a giant cardboard check for $25,000, claiming that was going to go towards a lawsuit against the unconstitutional bill they helped pass.
And they passed this bill unconstitutionally because Republicans refused to walk out at that point and deny quorum, even though they could have done so because it would not have had a problem with Measure 113, right? They could have done it if they had actually wished
Correct. Because of the timing, the Senate members like Dennis Lithicum and Kim Thatcher gave up their political futures by walking out. And then when because of the number of days that they would have been walking out affected their ability to run for reelection. The House didn't have that apply to them because it was much later in the session. And had they walked out, there wouldn't have been enough days of the walkout for them to be prohibited from running again. So they faced absolutely zero liabilities by stopping this.
And I'm looking at here, and I saved this picture, too, that you ended up putting up from Oregon House Republicans. And it's not that I want to pick on Republicans, but I really hate to be baited and switched as a voter here by even what we would consider our friends. And it said, and this is what it read. It had a picture of all the House Republicans in the House, the House Republicans, the caucus. Despite House Republicans raising significant constitutional issues against House Bill 2005B, House Democrats passed their omnibus gun control bill. In response, House Republicans have pledged $25,000 toward the inevitable litigation. All right. So I was thinking to myself, yeah, you could have avoided this entirely, as you have criticized them quite frequently about this. So my question is, what happened to the money? Because they did raise money, did they not?
Well, they collected, or they claimed to have collected $1,000 from every Republican House rep. Now, that is not exactly accurate because they didn't collect money from all of them. I know James Heeb didn't give them he doesn't appear in that photograph, by the way. He didn't give them the $1,000 because his campaign didn't have it. And he told me that the leadership then wanted to claim that he donated it and they would provide it from some other source. And he said, well, I don't care if that's what you want to do. But since then, we haven't been able to find a single House Republican who's been able to tell us where that money is. Now, several of them have claimed, I'm not going to name them, but several of them claim that, yes, they took $1,000 out of their PAC money and gave it to Iverson, to Vicky Brees Iverson, and that's the end of that. We haven't, you know, and nobody wants to talk about it anymore. So the new House leader, Jeff Helfrich, refuses to discuss it. It's all like, hey, that's before my time. I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
So, you know, yesterday I just sent, or I think guess it was the day before, I sent a note to Vicky Iverson and said, hey, look, you know, the lawsuit's underway. You said you were going to contribute $25,000 to the inevitable litigation. I assumed at the time that meant you guys, meaning the House Republicans, were going to create this litigation. And, of course, you didn't. Well, now we have. And so we'll be more than happy to take the check that you promised us. And frankly, if their opposition to us, because Iverson and her husband have attacked us and said, you know, we're a fringe organization and then asked us for money. You know, if they despise Oregon Firearms so much for exposing the truth, they're more than welcome to write that check to the Firearms Policy Coalition. I am anxiously awaiting when that check arrives.
Okay. It seems like a reasonable ask, given the fact that you made such political hay about this. What was that? May 2nd of – was that last year or the year before that?
Yeah. Right? 2023. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I mean, this question should be being asked by the Republican House reps who had this money extorted from them. Now, I don't know of any House Republican House reps who claim to have gotten that money back. You know, that money disappeared into the Iverson money hole. But, you know, hopefully it's somewhere collecting interest because now it's worth more than $25,000.
Oh, yeah. It could be like $27,000 for the Firearms Policy Coalition, right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you had that money extorted from you by the Iversons, with the false promise or the promise that litigation was going to ensue against the bill they helped pass, then you as a Republican House rep should be asking, where the heck is it?
Okay. Is it possible, though, that the Iversons would have no embarrassment about such an oversight?
Well, that certainly would be historically something we've seen before. But
okay.
The fact is, look, you guys all stood on the steps and did a photo op. You know, I think that you would be a little embarrassed yourselves having made this very public statement because you just passed the damn bill. And now where's the money? You know, you made a promise to gun owners in the state who you now have once again helped to screw and put in the crosshairs of becoming criminals. Let's contribute to rectifying this mess.
All right. So we need to raise money still, in spite of the fact that the Republicans said they were going to raise money and supposedly raise some money, but the money just sort of disappeared into the, the corrupticos of the Salem caucus, I guess. Let me just go back to House Bill 2005B, which is what we're fighting in the first place. And this is the one we've had the right to build firearms forever and ever. Amen. In this country. That's the way it was. And when is this in effect right now, or are there parts of it that are coming into effect? What can you give us about the status of that?
Okay, so the law itself went into effect. It had an emergency clause, so it went into effect immediately. The criminal penalties start being imposed on September 1st. And it is very, very difficult to figure out how a person can actually even comply with this because it says You can't be in possession of an unserialized, unfinished receiver, which is basically nothing. It's a chunk of plastic or metal. You can't be in possession of that unless it's been serialized according to federal regulations. But it's really unclear how that can be done if you already have either built one of these or in possession of the part that now they are demanding be serialized. Because, you know, for one thing, after September 1st, the criminal penalties start accruing for simple possession. Now,
possession.
The bill says that you could for simple possession of these things.
Something that you owned
10 years ago.
Something that you owned years ago, and it becomes a isn't this so they've turned it into contraband, something which was perfectly legal, and they make it next to impossible. There doesn't seem to be any reasonable way that you can be legal to possess something that you had possessed. And by the way, you can't sell the gun, right? You can't do that.
Well, you can't. You're not allowed to sell something that you made yourself. It's
right.
Always been legal to build a firearm for your personal use as a person who's not a licensed manufacturer. You just couldn't sell it or give it away. So now the question becomes, how do you comply with this? If you, it says, well, a serial number can be applied by, you know, under federal regulations by a licensed gun dealer. But
how does a licensed gun dealer come up with a serial number that passes muster?
Well, I think there are rules for the use of a federal firearms licensee's license number becomes a part of the serial number. Hmm. The question now is, who gets listed as the manufacturer? Is it the person who owned this firearm and brought it to the gun dealer? Is it the person who created the unserialized, unfinished lower? Is it the gun dealer himself? And I don't think anybody really knows this. Then, of course, after September 1st, simply by being in possession, you're violating the law. So while the dealer has an exception that says, well, it's legal for a dealer to take these guns into his possession to serialize it, it's not legal for you to have it, to bring it to him in the first place. And so this is another one of these crackpot laws dreamed up by the gerbils who run the Oregon legislature and acquiesced to by the Republicans, who just do the bidding of the Democrats all the time, which put all these people in the crosshairs. It's not even clear how people could comply with it.
Do we even know how many people could be affected by this? How many people in Oregon have legally in the past built their own firearms? Because you could do this yourself. In fact, you could buy the parts and you could mill the barrel or whatever it is, all that kind of stuff. You can do that.
Well, you know, I don't know of any way to know that, but here's another interesting problem. If you purchase an unfinished, the part that they want serialized, a frame or receiver, if you purchase that from a company that makes these unfinished parts and then finish it yourself, there's a record somewhere that you bought that. So those people are in the crosshairs. But if a person manufactures that part themselves, so through some kind of 3D printing process, there's no record of it. But here's where it gets even more complicated. Let's say you wanted to comply with this and you had the ability through a 3D printing process or any printing, any process to manufacture that part yourself. And you wanted to manufacture it and then comply with this law by having a serial number applied to it. The minute you've created it, you're violating the law. So simply by having it and wanting to have it serialized, you're still violating the law. So
because there's no exception that you have the receiver and you want it to be have a serial number put on it. It has to have a serial number, and you just can't create it. It's almost like you would have to create it and have the serial number being part of the manufacturing process, right, to be legal.
Which you can't do, which you cannot do because you're not a licensed manufacturer, importer, distributor, or dealer.
So heads, the state wins, tails, you're guilty, right?
Yeah, once again. And so now I've been told by our attorneys that this case, the restraining order case is scheduled for oral arguments on the 15th. I just looked at the court calendar. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I don't see it there, but that's what our attorney said. It's been assigned to Adrienne Nelson, who is a Kate Brown appointee, who was elevated to the federal court by Joe Biden. Obviously, that does not make us feel particularly good. On the other hand, you know, the judge who's been playing games with our Measure 114 case, Emmergut, was a Trump appointee, so who knows? There are a lot of irregularities that are taking place in the courts now. They are playing games. You know, look, we had a decision from the Supreme Court under Bruin that made it very clear what the rules were for adjudicating gun cases. the lower courts are ignoring them. You know, Emmergood in our 114 case just threw it out the window. There are courts all over the country who are delaying things, not publishing opinions, moving cases around to get the outcome they want. So we are in the midst of total judicial anarchy now. And look, here's the thing that really bothers me is that for so many years, as I've made it the point in the past, our organization has encouraged and relied on grassroots activism to get politicians to do the will of the Constitution and the people. Now, of course, in Oregon, there's no opposition. There's two Democratic parties. So there's really no chance of getting anything done politically, which sticks us, unfortunately, in the courtroom, which takes out any activism and just requires enormous outlays of cash. And now, with the courts playing games where they delay things, manipulate things, move decisions from one court, part of a court to another until they get the outcome they want, it is, as you just said, tails they win, heads we lose.
Yeah. And yet we must be on this battlefield, which is the law, unfortunately, the courts. And the courts are not a safe place to be either, but this is that last shot. And, you know,
yeah, there's no alternative at this point. I mean, when you look at people like the Iversons and on the Republican, quote, leadership specifically, well, on both the House and Senate side, where they take these public stands while constantly, I mean, the endless stream of fundraisers from people like Helfrich and Bozarth Davis disguised as petitions and surveys. And yet, we're going to introduce this legislation to solve this problem. Like, it's a joke. It's a complete joke.
Well, yeah, saying you're going to introduce legislation as a Republican is a joke. If you're talking,
unless it's Drazen type legislation, which was written by the Democrats in the first place.
Yeah, which is why we have to just dig into our pockets for funding the lawfare, funding this lawsuit here. That the Firearms Policy Coalition, you have joined with them, Oregon Firearms Federation. So you're joining in on this. And can we just do, we don't want to contribute to the PAC. How do we to work that if
two things. They can contribute to our foundation, the Oregon Firearms Educational Foundation, which just pays for lawsuits, or they're welcome to make a donation to Firearms Policy Coalition as well. I mean, I obviously. All the money in the foundation goes, there's like zero of that money goes to overhead. It goes to pay lawyers.
All right.
If they prefer and feel more comfortable, send the check to Firearms Policy Coalition.
Hey, but you're partnered on this one. I'm just as happy to get it to you. It doesn't matter one way or the other. It's going to be going to fight this lawsuit. And let us hope that there's enough embarrassment in the House Republican caucus that they'll cough up the $25,000 that they claimed they were going to help fight this law that was passed. All right. Let's work that side of it.
Well, I look forward to receiving the check, Bill. Well, let's keep an eye on this. I'll let you know if it arrives.
All right. Maybe what we should do is that, back when there was the Iranian hostage crisis back in the late 1970s, remember that, with Ted Koppel every night? Maybe what it should be is day 184, no check from the Republican caucus for House Bill.
The Republican check hostage crisis.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who's holding it hostage, Vicky, but... OregonFirearms.org. Look it up in the alerts and please sign up for that. Kevin, always good talking with you. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank
Be well.
You so much, Bill. Take care.
And we're going to need this work. We gotta fight the lawsuit. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford. KBXG Grants Pass.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin.